Yes. The good news is I've given you all the answers right there. Okay? I've given you all the answers. That's the only way I pass tests. You got to give me the answers. I'm going to take a few weeks and I'm going to discuss some things. We are a part of the church of God. I don't know if y'all, and I'm not talking about the church of God that God's talking about. I'm talking about the denomination church of God, okay? And we have statements of beliefs. We call them foundations of faith that we hold tight, we believe to, that we set up all our doctrine with. Many people, and I know this because I've had some of you come up and ask me and talk to me and did not know that we were part of a denomination. Now listen to me. I'm not going to get up here and preach Church of God that the only way you get to heaven is through the Church of God. That's a load of crap, okay? But there are reasons why we are a part of the denomination. It's because of what they believe. Now, there are other Pentecostal denominations that are just fine. Preached in them, have nothing against them, okay? Just so happens I was just born here and didn't find a good enough reason to leave, so here I am. So I'm still with them, okay? I have no issues with the other denominations. I have no real issues with some of the independent churches out there, okay, that are Pentecostal. But what's nice about our denomination, okay, is that we have a back. We have a backing. If something happens to us, if somebody comes in here and decides that they want to sue us, we have the Church of God that has our backs, okay? That's the nice thing. That's why it's so nice to have the denomination behind you. It's not that we believe that the Church of God is the only way to heaven, because it's not, okay? Jesus is the only way to heaven, plain and simple, okay? So before any of you get up and be like, he's preaching Church of God, I'm not. I'm preaching Scripture, okay? So this morning I want to start with you on talking to you about the foundations of faith. And the first thing that we're going to talk about here this morning is that we believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Now, if I went around to some of you and I asked you this question, what do you believe? Could you answer the question? Could you say what it is that you believe? Do you know what it is that we believe in? Now, you do not have to agree with everything on this paper in order to make it to heaven. But you better agree with a few things. When we say that Jesus was born unto a virgin, died on a cross, and 3 days later rose from the grave for victory over your sins, and you say, well, I'm not really sure that I believe that. I hate to break it to you, but you probably ain't going to make heaven your home, okay? That's kind of a strong point. You got to believe that. But this, the first point there that we see, that you see on the statements of faith that we have, is we believe in a verbal inspiration of the Bible. The Bible is the voice of God speaking to humans across the centuries. It's God's message to us. In fact, it's the primary manner in which God speaks to us. The words of the Bible were recorded by individuals who were directly inspired by God, the Holy Spirit. These writers were holy people who each had an active, not passive, part in writing the Scripture. They wrote as the Spirit moved them. The Bible reflects this divine inspiration, and it also reflects the variety of human personalities who contributed to its composition. And when you read throughout Scripture, there's a lot of times when you don't even have to know who it is that's writing to recognize their writings. You can tell when David's writing in Psalms. It's pretty obvious, okay? That dude was like a yo-yo. You know, verse 1, oh, woe is me. Verse 2, how great is my God that he lifts me up from the depths of my sorrows. That was David. You could find David's writing so easily. You could see Paul. You could see his personality. You could see in Paul's writings, okay? So yes, man wrote the Bible, but it was inspired by God. The first thing I want to talk to you is inspiration. The term inspiration, when used to describe the Bible, means that the Old and the New Testaments owe their origin to the creative work of the Holy Spirit. The word inspiration indicates the guarantee and preservation of truth. In comparison, the word revelation refers to what God has said and done. Revelation is an act that makes truth known. Inspiration preserves the truth revealed through revelation. Inspiration preserves the truth revealed through revelation. The view that the Bible is inspired word of God expresses the firm conviction that revelation given in Scripture is true and that the Bible cannot be treated as just another human document. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The words given by inspiration of God are the translation of this Greek word. I'll spell it out to you because I can't say it. Okay? I don't know Greek, y'all. I barely know English. I think it's called theopneustosis, but I ain't positive. It's theopneustos. Theopneustos indicates how Scripture came to be. In other words, it's breathed or it's in the inspired word of God. It's divine breath in the Old Testament. Often means it's the creative activity of the Holy Spirit. And we read in the book of Job, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Job 33, verse 4. Second thing we need to understand is Scripture is the creative work of the Holy Spirit. Although people wrote Scripture, the Holy Spirit gave the content and the character. One of the distinguishing characteristics of Scripture is that it owes its origin to the inspiration or the creative activity of the Holy Spirit. When used to describe the Bible, the word inspiration has deeper meaning than it does used in any other way. Biblical inspiration is spiritual in nature, and it makes the Bible different from all other books. Just because people may say a certain song inspired them or a book inspired them, it's different than when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit. There has been men that I have and people that I have met throughout my life who have inspired me to do something. But divine inspiration is different. Divine inspiration is when God breathes into the situation. Breathes into the situation, that's a different type of inspiration. When God breathed in the man, that was inspiration that went into his body. That gave that body life. That's what God breathed inspiration is. It's given the body life. When God breathes into this church body, it gives it life. That's the difference than some of the other churches out there today. Is God's not breathing in their church. And there's no inspiration whenever you leave. Oh, sure, you might feel better. The preacher got up there and he patted you on the back. But when God breathes into the situation, it gives you hope for tomorrow. When God breathed into the writers, he gave them hope that they could write down exactly what he was thinking and what he was saying. They allowed him to take their hand and write it out. That's divine inspiration. During Jesus' life, Jesus and his followers accepted the Old Testament as the inspired word of God. And later, the early Christian church accepted both the Old and the New Testament as God's words. As Jesus taught his disciples and other followers, he referred to and treated the Old Testament writings as holy scriptures from God. In the early days of Christianity, churches that were committed to the orthodoxy received the New Testament as inspired scripture because the books had been written by the apostles and those who were closely associated with them. There was also other Christian literature in existence, but the church used careful judgment and limited the New Testament to just 27 books in our Bible today. Here's the reason why we only have 27 books. Listen, there are other great literature that was wrote during the times of Jesus. Okay? There is great literature that was written, but here's the difference in why we chose our 27 books that we have. They chose books that gave the inspired account and interpretation of the great acts of God. Today, the Holy Spirit continues to confirm the truth of the Bible to the hearts and minds of all believers and gives them the assurance that all Scripture is inspired by God. There are some denominations who use... I'm taking this off. I'm not trying to be boring, and I hope I'm not. But we do not know what it is that we say we believe, and I have a problem with that. So that's why we're starting here. There are other denominations, good-hearted, good people denominations, okay, that use other books to their Bible, okay? I ain't here to knock them. For example, the book of Enoch. I have no issues with Enoch. I'm hoping one day I can be half what he was, okay? But they chose not to use his book. Okay, I am not a theologian. I'm a man that barely graduated high school. Okay, if it wasn't for the fact I was a great cheater, I don't know if I would have. I'm not condoning cheating. I'm not condoning it. I was just saying I was a better cheater than a reader. So, yeah. Yeah, if you just want to graduate, yeah, don't get caught. Is it cheating if you don't get caught? Okay, it is. All right, just making sure. Okay. I'm not here to debate what should go in, why they put some things in, and why didn't they put some in, why they took some things out. I'm not going to debate that. I'll leave that up to the guys that study this stuff a whole lot more and understand it a whole lot better than I do. But here's what I will say. Is I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, from Genesis to Revelation, God inspired every word. And why can I say that? Because when I apply the word that has been written to my life, it's been effective. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 70, it says, as he spoke by the mouths of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. 1 Peter 1:12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. See, whenever they say things like, by the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to take their word for it. Because whenever he's involved in something, it usually works out okay. Sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Number three, the ideas in word and of scripture. God inspired both the ideas and the words of scripture. Scripture makes no distinction between inspiration of the writer's idea and the inspiration of their words. We have so many people who think they know the Bible so well, and here's the problem, is they know the Bible well enough to be dangerous. Okay? And they will take Scripture and they will take things out of context and then use that to debate their doctrine. All right? I don't have to go to church to get to heaven. That's the popular one. Well, all I have to do is just believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead for my sins. That's all I got to do is believe. And they twist the doctrine. They twist those words to fit their life. But see, when you allow the Holy Spirit to inspire you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you know exactly what believe means. Believe does not mean, well, I just know something. My wife and I, we hit 13 years Monday. It was our 13th anniversary. And I believe that my wife loves me. I believe that. I also believe that there are some days when she doesn't know if she really does. Now, am I right in both things? Oh, yeah. But see, there's a difference between believe and knowing. The Bible says that we are to become more intimate with Him. And the more you are intimate with Jesus, the more you are intimate with the Father, the more you understand and the more you know what believe means. I know my wife loves me. I just don't believe it. I know it. Because when there have been times that have been tough and rough, we've been able to go through it because of the intimacy that belongs between the two of us. That's the difference between believing and I believe. We have such a distorted view of what Christianity is. We have so many people today who, well, as long as I just go to church and I get my points in. How many of you are aware of the point system in church? If you go to church on Sunday morning, you get 10 points. If you stay awake the whole service, you get an additional 5 points. If you give in the offering, $20 or more, you get an additional 10 points. And if you go over 100, we'll give you another 10. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I have heard people talk like this. Okay? Well, and you'll hear, and I've seen it said on TV, guys will be like, well, I went to church with you today. And she's like, yeah, but you slept through the whole thing. He goes, but God see me there, so I'm good. You know, well, the husband would be sitting there and watching the football game on his device while he was at church, you know, and the wife would be sitting there smacking him. He looked at his wife and he went, but God knows I'm here, so I at least get the points for that. I didn't know God worked on a point system. So that's the way we have this distorted view. Knowing that the Bible is the inspired word of God, the only way you can know those things is if you are intimate with what He says. People will come up and ask you a question, and you'll go, oh, I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't know the answer. Second Peter 1:21, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved means carried along. They were carried along. Not yet. I'll get there in a minute. Number four, understanding God's message in Scripture. Because the Bible is the inspired by the Holy Spirit, it can be trusted as being the Word of God. However, to fully understand the truths of God's Word, one must consider it the literary style, consider the intentions of the prophets and apostles who recorded them, and then rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and understanding. One of the things that we do so easily when we begin to study the Bible is we read the Bible like it's 2017. I don't know if you are aware, but it was written a few years ago, okay? And modern technology was not around. I mean, it was written so long ago, Michelle wasn't even around then. Okay, that's how long ago this thing was written. All right? So we end up reading the Bible like it's today. Now, you can apply it to today, but you have to understand what they're talking about whenever he says, remove your shoes for the place in which you stand is holy ground. We don't understand why people would remove their shoes. That doesn't make any sense. Why was it customary to remove your shoes when you walked into people's homes? I don't even remove my shoes when I walk into my house. Makes my wife mad too. She's like, why won't you just take off your shoes? I'm like, it's my house, woman. I will leave them on. I will walk around in my shoes all day long. You don't see me wrapped up in a blanket because they're cold. That's because I got shoes on my feet. Not only that, I don't know what God was thinking when he created feet. They got to be the ugliest things on a person's body. I don't want to see people's toes, especially mine. I got calluses that are so thick. Oh, good Lord. It's just terrible. I just don't understand why. I hate going to the beach. You know why? I got to see people's. I hate it. I just people walk by. It's like, oh, that's so gross. My wife, she gets into the vehicle. The first thing she does when she gets in, as long as she ain't driving, take the shoes off. It's like we're just going to the store. Her and Allie both. We just are going to the store. We pull into the spot. Now we got to take the next 10 minutes to put them back on. You guys ready? Almost. I got one on. Please. It's a 5-minute drive to Walmart. Leave them on. Oh. It's your fault I just went on that tangent. I don't know why. You look guilty. Because you don't have shoes on your feet. But we don't understand what he's talking about there. Whenever they would walk into people's homes, and the first thing that they would do is wash their feet. You come to my house, I am not washing your feet. I promise you that. The only way I'm washing people's feet is if it's an act of God. Unless it's time for a foot washing at church, that's about the only time. You come to my house and Jesus don't say wash your feet, I ain't washing your feet. I promise you that. But they did that. That was customary. So whenever God said to Moses, take off your shoes for the place in which you stand is holy ground. And you understand the custom of the time. We understand what God was saying. I remember years ago, whenever I was in church, I was a young kid, and this woman was up there leading worship, and she said, "Oh, God just said if we would just remove our shoes from the place in which we stand as holy ground." I remember I was like 9, 10 years old, and I went, "Ha ha, no way." I guess I'm missing God today. But I didn't understand what it was that she was referring to. Those things were in the way. I was carrying around the junk of the world on my feet. And whenever you come into a presence of God, the last thing that can stand is your flesh. The world can't stand the presence of God. Then you start to understand what that scripture means. Mike wants me to remove my shoes whenever I come to church during the week because I bring in rocks. He brings them in, he sits them down on the desk, and he goes, "I got 6 of them today." To understand the Bible, we need to interpret the poetic and the symbolic language figuratively, not literally. Psalms, for example, Psalm 17:8. Because the psalmist's desire for divine protection, he prayed that God would hide him under the shadow of his wings. If we were to interpret wings literally, we might conclude that God has physical wings and we're supposed to get underneath of them. By using the symbolic interpretation, one could conclude that God is like a loving mother bird who shelters her young under her wings. Another example, the Lord's Supper, which we're going to be doing here in a few minutes. Jesus' words when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he took the bread saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then the cup, he said, "This is my blood." When he said this, Jesus was not holding his body and his blood saying, "Take and eat this." Okay? Believe it or not, there are people that have a distorted view like that. There's denominations that teach that whenever you pray over the Lord's Supper, that it is his body now. You are taking part of his body. You are taking part in his blood. That's no longer wine or grape juice. It is now the blood of Jesus. There are denominations that teach that. It's not. It's a representation. To understand the Bible, we need to consider the intentions. We must begin with the words of biblical text to gain a sense of its meaning. As we are reading, an understanding of the author's purpose for writing will assist in comprehending what God is saying to us. To understand the Bible, we need to rely on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you don't get anything out of today other than this, do not try to figure this thing out on your own. The reason why we have crazy denominations out there today is because man went and tried to interpret this thing on their own. They took one scripture and tried to base their whole denomination, their whole belief, their whole religion on one scripture. They distorted it. They perverted the gospel because they did not understand what the scripture meant. There are denominations out there that are teaching that there's only 10,000 people that are getting into heaven. This world has been around for how long? We might have missed the cut. If that's what you believe. Okay? So, don't take things literally all the time. Take it figuratively. Paint the picture. Okay, and Revelations is one that people get all confused because Revelations and Daniel in both books, it's all about painting. They're painting the picture. They're using signs and symbols, okay? And the reason why, especially in Revelations, John was writing it. Remember, this man was being held captive in prison out on the island of Patmos, all right? And the only way he could get these things out is if he wrote it in a way that the Romans did not understand what it was that was being written. If he would have wrote that God was Jesus was coming back, and he was coming back on a white horse to take his church away, that's pretty obvious to the Romans. But whenever he starts using symbols and signs, the only ones that understand it's the church. Because they read Daniel. They read about what the Messiah was going to come and be. They knew what he was talking about. So Revelation is one especially that people get all distorted because they take things literally instead of figuratively. Do not do this without the Holy Spirit teaching you. As we carefully and faithfully interpret Scripture within its historical and literary context, we need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Scripture is the instrument of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit's powerful ministry, He works in our hearts and minds through the written word and makes meaningful truth of God's good news. The Holy Spirit may bring divine truth to us in a song, in a testimony, in a sermon, or through spiritual gifts. But all such means take us back to the written word of God. This is where we get ourselves in trouble. We go and we hear something on a Sunday morning or on a Tuesday night when we're driving home from work and we'll have the radio on and we will hear a preacher say something and we take it as gospel. And we don't look it up for ourselves and we apply something that is not truth to our life. You can question everything that comes out of my mouth. Go home and make sure what it is that what me, Brett, Pastor Don, Floyd, or anybody else is saying to you. And make sure it lines up under the Word of God. We have denominations today who are teaching a perverted view of the Scripture. And the reason why people do not know that it's perverted is because they do not go and research it for themselves. Just because you got saved one time at the age of 8 does not mean that you are eternally secure forever. You can walk away. You can walk from under his covering. Just because you came up one time and said, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins," does not mean that you are cool for the rest of your life. Because if you say that, and 6 years later, you end up sleeping around on your spouse, guess what? You committed sin. Plain and simple. If you stole $5 from your grandpa, I don't care. It's amazing. I didn't even say no names, and everybody knows who we're talking about. Man. I'm just wanting to further people's walk with Christ. That's the only reason why I'm using you as an example. Exactly. You're not eternally secure, but yet we have thousands, millions of people who are sitting at home today thinking everything's okay with them and Jesus because some preacher told them, "Will you said a prayer?" and now everything's okay. We have millions of people that are sitting at home today thinking that they're okay because at some point in time they went in front of a priest or they went to a preacher and they told them what it was that they did wrong, and the priest or the pastor looked at them and said, well, just don't do that no more. You're okay now. I'm not trying to knock the Catholics, but you can say all the Hail Marys you want. Unless you come in contact with a holy God, you are not going to make heaven your home. I had a friend of mine look at me, and he's a really good guy, and he's Catholic. I'm not here to knock on him, but I told him, I said, well, I can't be there until probably about 3 or 4 o'clock. I said, because by the time I get done with church, get home, get changed, the earliest I can be there is 2:33. And he's like, just be like me and be a good Catholic and just go Sunday morning and get your 10 minutes in. I'm like, I can't be a good Catholic. He goes, it's easy. You drink Saturday night and you tell the priest about it Sunday morning. I'm like, okay. I don't want to be a good Catholic. I want my children to look at me and say, behold, Daddy, I see the fire. If you don't know that scripture, that's for another day. The Holy Spirit brings divine truth. How many have heard somebody say something to them and you immediately knew that wasn't right? That was the Holy Spirit. Or they'll see something happen in a church service and they'll go, that doesn't fly. Something's not right there. That's the Holy Spirit working. He's great at clearing things up. Carl, would you go ahead and go back there and get them for me?